Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
This is Central Time. Now we'll take a look at the frac sand mining news out of Wisconsin this week.
A recall election, new zoning ordinances in Trempealeau County in the works, and a fine from the DNR all brought focus to the ongoing questions surrounding the frac sand mining industry in Wisconsin. That's digging up the sand that goes, in most cases, out of state to be used in fracking of oil and natural gas. Here to bring us up to date is WPR reporter Rich Kramer, based in Eau Claire. Rich, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
So we'll focus on Trempealeau County at first. How big is sand mining in that county?
Well, it's they've got more permits issued to frac sand, industrial sand mining operations than any other county. They've got about 28 permits that they've issued over the years, really since in the last 3-4 years maybe.
And what is going on this week when it comes to ordinances related to industrial sand there in Trempealeau County?
Well, the full county board voted on Monday to change the zoning ordinance, and zoning basically is the rules that dictate where you can put what, as far as, you know, industrial sand mining or farming or whatever. A lot of counties only don't have zoning countywide, but Trempealeau County is one of the few that do. So the county makes the rules, and all the towns adhere to that. So what they did was they changed basically the hours of operation that are allowed for frac sand extraction and processing, mainly for processing, and they also changed how the permits are given out. Prior, as far as the hours of operation, mm-hmm. before the changes, the frac sand extraction and processing were only allowed between, say, 6 in the morning and 8 p.m., give or take, you know, depending on daylight savings time. But there were a lot of complaints from towns and especially from frac sand companies saying they need to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there were concerns that these restrictions were leading to frac sand companies to annex into cities. So if they annex, they get the city to annex the property, then they don't have to follow the county rules. They can make deals with the cities. So this is an attempt, this hours of operation thing is an attempt to cut down on the annexations by letting them, they got to dig the sand during the day, but they can process it 24 hours a day.
Well, that speaks to the demand for this stuff if they're trying to go 24 hours, at least on the processing. What was their testimony, was there opposition to letting them run the processing of sand all night?
Well, you've got neighbors nearby, and a lot of the neighbors are angry because, you know, it makes noise. This causes noise. There's trucks traveling, and there's concerns about dust and light pollution at night. So that was the main concern against letting them go 24 hours a day, and that's why the county originally had made the rules so that you couldn't do it all night.
So that's the hours of operation. You also mentioned changes to how they give permits. What would change after this decision?
Well, before you would apply for a permit through Trempealeau County's land management department, and you'd get the permit, and you had the permit, so you'd be able to mine at your own pace. You could kind of get the permit and hold on to it if the markets weren't so great and you wanted to wait. But now what they did was they've changed it so that you get that permit and it's considered preliminary until you actually do something with it. You have to you begin construction, you have to actually begin extraction, you have to begin processing this stuff, and if you don't do any of that within 1 year, that permit is never fulfilled, so they take it back.
So it's use it or lose it.
Basically, and, you know, I've heard some concerns that there's a lot of speculation going because Trempealeau County has 28 permits issued, more than any other county, as I mentioned, but right now, as of the peak of last summer, they only had 6 operations actually doing anything. So some of the reasons behind changing this permit process is the neighbors don't really know what to do. If you've got a neighbor that has a frac sand mining permit, you're not sure whether they're going to start mining or not. you've got to know this to be able to consider selling your house, et cetera. So the big push was based on uncertainty of the neighbors that are living next to these properties that are designated for possible frac sand extraction.
So making it more predictable for people who live in the area. But it seems like, and I've just been trying to come to grips with how this would work, it seems like it might make it more likely that any given site will be used, because if Robco sits on that permit for a year and loses it, well, it's gone. And then Richco can come in, file for a new permit, because they're ready and raring to go to start extracting sand.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. One of the consequences could be that a lot of these people that don't want to see a lot of frac sand operations, you know, spring up, well, now they might be forced to spring up. A lot of these ones that have been sitting on the permit, they might actually have to start doing that. People could be even more upset because all of a sudden you've got 28 frac sand mines operating. So that could be one of the unintended consequences. But, you know, the companies, if they lose their permit, they can reapply. Just because they lose the permit doesn't mean they lose the land. They'll still have rights to the land.
Ah, okay. So Trempealeau County is a big place for frac sand extraction in the state. It's not the only place. Do you get the sense that other counties, as they try to figure out exactly how they want to regulate this new industry, or local governments for that matter, towns and cities, are looking at what they're doing in Trempealeau County saying, is there something we can learn from this?
Perhaps. You know, it's interesting. The counties and the towns, they all have different approaches to this, and very different, and it's really fascinating to watch the evolution. It really all kind of started up in Chippewa County back in 2007, 2008. They were really the first ones, and they got in there and really thoughtfully worked with companies and landowners and neighbors, and they kind of set the model, especially Town of Howard. They had a Town of Howard agreement between where it wasn't a zoned area, so that the company didn't have to do anything, but they worked with the local government and came up with these rules. So whether or not other counties will be looking at this as an example, time will tell, but the whole losing the permit after 1 year is fascinating, and I wouldn't be surprised if some other counties changed their approach to it.
We're talking to WPR reporter Rich Kramer, based in Eau Claire. He's been covering frac sand, industrial sand extraction in his part of the state. More news this week that we'll get to coming up after news from Wisconsin Public Radio, a DNR fine on one sand extraction company, and an attempted local government recall related to the issue.
Well, what about you? Do you have any questions about the frac sand mining news out this week? Do you live in Trempealeau or Glenwood? And what do you think about the new ordinances and the recall election? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back with Rich Kramer, WPR reporter based in Eau Claire, talking about some of the recent developments in frac sand mining this past week.
And we want to know, do you have any questions about the frac sand mining news or frac sand extraction in your area? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or share your thoughts via email at talk@wpr.org. To your calls in just a minute, Rich, first, I wanted to ask you, we saw news of a fine of one of these sand mining companies, Preferred Sands. What happened there?
Well, I'd call it more of a settlement. This is the result of 2 years or more worth of issues and enforcement actions against Preferred Sands, a company which owns a mine processing facility in Blair, Wisconsin, in Trempealeau County. It all started even before Preferred bought the property. They bought it from another frac sand company called Wind Bay. But the issue was it wasn't set up quite right. So every time it rained or there was significant rain events, the storm water would mix with mud and sand that was kind of left in piles. It was the waste material and material that they use to fill in the hole when they're done. It would saturate those and would leak off-site. And that's a problem because if it gets into local streams and rivers or wetlands, that silt can really mess up the ecosystems. So they noticed back in 2011, as the company was being bought by Preferred Sands, the DNR said, hey, you've got these issues, you've got to fix it. And the issues continued and continued. And in 2012, in spring, we had a lot of rain. And there was a big rainstorm that caused a massive pile of sand and mud to kind of liquefy. Think of lava, really, a solid that turns kind of liquid. Ran down a ravine, crashed through an Amish home, actually, displaced the family, and eventually made its way into farm fields and into the Trempealeau River. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. The DNR referred Preferred Sands to the Department of Justice, the State Department of Justice, that is, for prosecution. And that took a while for the DOJ to really do anything, more than a year, actually almost 2 years. And in the meantime, there were still issues at this site. So the news that came on Monday was that the state's lawsuit was settled. And in the amount, the state got $200,000 from Preferred Sands. And that's where we're at today.
Have you seen reaction from either the company, the Department of Justice, or local critics of that mining company to that number, $200,000 in the settlement?
Well, the Department of Justice is satisfied. The Department of Natural Resources is satisfied. You know, they just do the enforcement. They hand off all the legal stuff to the DOJ. The company says they have been working ever since they bought the property to fix the issues. And as of now, they say they are totally within compliance, and the DNR basically tacitly confirms that. Some critics, though, some people that are critical of frac sand mining in general, there's a lot of people that keep track of this. You call them activists or concerned citizens or whatever. But they're not quite satisfied with this. You know, they were upset it took so long for justice to be had. Also, they're upset that $200,000 really is in a drop in the bucket, they say, because these companies, I mean, a frac sand plant that's going in Trempealeau County right now costs, it's going to cost $70 million. So $200,000, they say, is nothing.
Have we seen other similar violations or court cases like this?
There is another case, yeah, up in Burnett County, which is really in the far northwest corner of the frac sand territory. There was an issue there where a stormwater holding pond, or maybe it was either stormwater holding pond or else a process water pond, muddy water pond basically, broke loose and it drained into some wetlands and eventually made it into the St. Croix River, which is a nationally protected river. And the company didn't really report it until, it wasn't made known until a hiker was walking through the woods and saw this brown water seeping into the river. They were referred as well. This was Interstate Energy Partners, a company that owns and runs the mine. They were referred to the Department of Justice. We're waiting to hear what happens in that case.
Let's go to our phones now at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, if you have thoughts to share on frac sand mining or questions. We've got Bob on the line in Simcoe. Bob, hi.
Hey, good to talk to y'all. I would like to just point out that that the sand mining is not confined to western Wisconsin. I live here in just basically northern Waupaca, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Waupaca County, and there are several frac sand mines operating here, and a very controversial mine that's been appealed in Town of Union, an industrial mine. So it's good to hear that the DNR fined those folks, because a lot of the stuff we found here in the process is that they want to leave it a complaint-driven type business where there's very little oversight, and I think you really have to be careful in that kind of a thing. So it's good to hear the last story there.
Bob, thanks a lot for your call. That's a good question. Rich, can you mentioned the sand range in Wisconsin. About how far does it spread?
Well, I wish I could do some visuals for you, but think of a swath from Burnett County. We're talking about the Jordan and the sandstone formation, and this is Precambrian sand. This is ancient sand from way back when there was a giant ocean over all of us, which is mind-boggling to me. But anyway, the sand stretches within the state's borders. The sand stretches from way up by Burnett County, far northwestern Wisconsin, down through much of the west central portion of the state, down through western Wisconsin, kind of along the the western edge of the state. Also, there's a swath that kind of hooks up through, you know, Marshfield and then sneaks up to Wapaka. And Wapaka County is kind of the northeast reaches of the Fraxand deposits, if you will.
Thanks for the call, Bob. And Bob mentioned these are controversial in Wapaka County as they are elsewhere, and that reminds me of the third reason we wanted to get you on, an attempted local government recall related to sand mining. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Glenwood City. This has to do with annexation, which is another hot issue with frac sand mining. But the mayor, there's a citizens group that was formed in Glenwood City that was upset because they claimed that the mayor and three members of the city council were trying to annex a piece of property to the city, and then they were going to use that annexation to create some favorable rules for a frac sand company, a frac sand mine that was proposed. And their main complaint was that people weren't listening to them. They urged the mayor, they urged the council and the mayor to hold a referendum, and they felt like they were being shut down as far as the debate over this and everything else. So they got the signatures and they tried to recall three city council members and the mayor, and they all failed. Very close, there was one city council member that just squeaked by three votes and kept her seat. But we'll have to wait and see if the group has any other plans to keep fighting this.
And have there been any public discussions of this annexation idea, Glenwood City annexing land to set, I guess, less stringent standards?
Well, it's not so much I'd be careful to say less stringent standards, but basically there have been discussions. I called the city clerk's office to ask if there had been any, if it had come up. And yes, it had, but there haven't been any votes on it yet and nothing really set in stone. But they're talking about it.
All right, let's get back to our callers now. We've got Rob with us in Wausau. Rob, hi.
Hi. I got a question about, I guess, the economics of the frac sand situation. It seems like we're the only people who got this stuff, we being the state of Wisconsin. And they want it, and they got to have it to do what they want to do. And one of the problems with it is that it's expensive to, you know, let these people mine this stuff because it wrecks the roads and, you know, there's dust and all kinds of bad stuff. And they're not probably paying their share when it comes to the cost of getting it. And besides that, you know, capitalism suggests that, you know, it's supply and demand. We got the supply. They got a big demand for it. Can't get it from anybody else. So how come we don't just, you know, set the price real high to get it, which will tend to control people who just, you know, speculate on it. And also maybe pay for some of these costs that the people of one county or another is having trouble with.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Rob, for the call. So rich corporate taxation and all that, a complicated issue. Do you have a sense of how much, say, the state or local governments are getting out of this, benefiting financially from these mines?
Well, the local governments, you know, they're getting taxes, property taxes, or they're getting taxes in the form of valuation and everything. And it's really it's interesting. And it's, school districts are based on assessed property value. And if a frac sand mine moves in, that assessed property value skyrockets. So they're getting taxes at the local level. The state really doesn't get anything, as far as I know. There's no severance tax for mineral extraction, for non-metallic mining. There's no excise tax, nothing like that. And it is big business. There's a lot of money to be made. The people that are making money are the companies, the citizens who own the land that might sell it or lease it to the companies, the local towns, villages, cities that are getting taxes here. But that's about it. And he's right about the impacts on roads. That's a huge issue. And a lot of towns, a lot of cities, a lot of local governments have made developers agreements with these companies to pay for the damage to the roads, because you're talking about hundreds of truck trips a day, and these trucks weigh 80,000 pounds. And for a local county road that, you know, it was not built for that kind of thing, it just gets smashed, and it's constantly in need of repair.
We'll leave it there for now. Rich, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Rich Kramer, WPR reporter based in Eau Claire.